On Monday, March 5, Four Corners aired an episode, Weather Alert, looking at how Australia's changing climate is impacting on the everyday life of people. The program deliberately sought out the responses of first responders and those directly affected, and excluded the opinions of politicians. Among the issues covered was the health impact of rising temperatures. The health segment was provided by Dr. Mark Monahan, emergency physician from Western Australia and member of Doctors for the Environment. I'm speaking to him now. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Dave.
Starting with a world view, how does the World Health Organization view climate change as a risk?
Well, as I said very briefly in the show, the World Health Organization sees climate change as the biggest threat to global health that we currently face. And certainly in Australia, where we have a harsher, more precarious climate in many ways, this is something that's critically important for us to acknowledge and address.
Now, greatest threat of our lifetime, is that an over-the-top statement?
I don't believe so. I think that the thing about this and the risk with this, and I think it was emphasised well in the program, is that this is not the sort of thing that is just immediately occurs and we get confronted with. This is something that is evolving. It's happening now, but it's evolving. It's only going to get more and more significant, and the impact is going to be almost universally on the people that are most vulnerable across our planet. And certainly that's relevant to us also in a relatively lucky country like Australia.
It's often said, or it's actually said a while back, that there aren't any skeptics at the end of a fire hose. And in the program, the head of the Western Australian Water Corporation stated that there aren't any skeptics in the Water Corporation. I suppose you're in that boat too.
Well, I certainly can't speak for all of my colleagues across health, but I think that increasingly, certainly, I have no doubt clinically that this is an issue that we need to address. I think the data is so compelling, Des, that I don't believe you could look at the data and think anything else. And the recent data that we presented and published in the Medical Journal of Australia about the incidence of mortality associated with an extreme heat event, and I'm not talking about a bushfire, I'm talking about just an extreme heat wave. The increase in hundreds of the mortality just in one city alone is it's powerful, really critical data, and I can't look at that and think there isn't an issue there. And I think that's the message the show was trying to portray, that the people that are actually dealing with it are looking at it and go, well, this is clearly happening now, it's clearly going to evolve, and unless we as a country and from a policy point of view not only mitigate our emission impact but also look at ways of adapting now and investing now to avoid having to deal with much greater problems later on, then we're just going to have huge issues. And I felt that was compellingly made in that program.
If there's a heat wave, what's the impact on the workload of the health system?
It varies, and it depends on the severity of the heat wave. The heat waves can range from sort of very mild sort of increases in sort of ambient temperature through to extreme. I think the sort of situations where we're seeing these death rates increase dramatically are the extreme heat waves. And the data that we looked at across sort of the southeast of Australia in the article demonstrated that you would see a marked increase in ambulance call-outs, in cardiac arrest, so in priority one and priority two patients who are coming into emergency departments. But they're not the sort of thing, if you're on the floor, you'll see an increase in numbers, absolutely, because I think that from memory, I haven't got it right in front of me, but the presentation rate increased by about 60% for ambulance call-outs, and it variably increased in the emergency department presentations. But it was often, severe patients, so it was patients who were having cardiac arrest outside the hospital. And the thing about being on the floor in the emergency department is that if cardiac arrests come in, you're not going to suddenly think, this is so much different, because you'll do an 8 or 10 hour shift and you're used to having several cardiac arrests come in through a shift anyway. So as a single clinician, you may not notice that it's dramatically different. But it is if you look at the data across a period of 3 or 4 days, and there's sort of a lag that after the first day or two of the heat wave, it only starts, sort of the numbers start creeping up then. But the numbers are extraordinary in terms of the increase in death. And obviously they're distributed across emergency departments within any area. so when I was asked about that for the show, I made the point to them, as a clinician, I don't go, you know, good heavens, I'm just seeing everybody dying around me. But there is no doubt that that certainly in the older age group, greater than 65, people with multiple medical problems, they're at high risk, and, you know, vulnerable, isolated people in urban centres, outdoor workers, mental health patients, they're all at increased risk of getting into trouble if they don't have the right medical and community supports to look after them.
I was surprised, actually, when mental health patients were mentioned. Is that something that's been a symptom for a while now, or is it you're just waking up to that and it's sort of you've tied the links together?
No. The data's been documented prior to any work that I certainly did on this. And I think the reason for the mental health increase in presentations are several. The first is that they may well be socially isolated. Depending on their degree of mental illness, they may or may not have the capacity or the wherewithal to look after themselves. Because if you've got an extreme heat wave going on in an urban setting, you've got essentially an urban heat sink occurring. And if they don't have adequate money, adequate air conditioning, a vehicle or some way of mobilising, then they're at risk. They may be affected by their mental illness to a degree that they don't. They're not particularly good at looking after themselves. And also the medications chronic medications that people are on for chronic mental illness can really impact physiologically on the way you respond to heat. And so all of those factors probably contribute to the increased incidence of mental health presentations you'd see during that time.
Now, you've got someone who, under heat wave conditions, say an elderly patient who has a heart attack, ambulance sent out, and they're found with the cardiac arrest and are obviously probably sort of facing some sort of dehydration and all that. Are medical workers prepared for those mixed conditions?
Oh, yes. I mean, that would be standard. The patients with multiple medical problems or the elderly patients often have complex comorbid, lots of medical problem situations, and dealing with those in a resuscitation setting is very common practice for us. I guess the issue with this is that, you know, in these extreme weather events, and we know that they're getting more frequent, they're getting more severe, our heat wave season's increasing in length, there's very good data to demonstrate that, and our extreme hot days are increasing in frequency. We're sort of breaking records of hot days three times as often as we're breaking cold records. So those extreme events are becoming more frequent. And in those situations, we are just going to see more patients that are physiologically or socially at risk having cardiac arrests. And the fact is that if you have an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, the survival of that situation, even at the best of times, is poor. That is, you know, a very small percentage of patients actually survive to walk out of hospital. So if you've got an increased frequency of these occurring, we're just losing people that in other situation we wouldn't lose. And there, that behoves us to really consider what systems we've got in place to look out for them, you know, whether there are, and there are certainly models elsewhere where they start looking at alert should there be a heat wave occurring. Certainly there's publicity, and then they will, you know, the local GPs or the local health system or the local council will have, you know, people that are at risk, and they will keep an eye out for them and make sure that they are okay, they're looking after themselves, not getting into a situation where they could get in trouble. And these are the sort of systems at all government levels we really have to think about now, and how we can protect these people that otherwise are not really in a situation to protect themselves.
Okay, let's wrap it up by having a look at one of the preconditions for the Four Corners program, which was to exclude politicians. What's been the response of governments in addressing this problem?
Look, I think it's a very difficult question to answer. I think as a citizen of the country and a normal person, I find I still get a very mixed message about the government's commitment not only to mitigate our carbon impact, our emissions impact, but also in terms of what we are willing to invest in terms of adaptation. The sense I get from a health point of view is still that this is considered within the remit of business as usual and we'll be able to cope within our current system. I don't consider that's reasonable, and we are going to face an increasing challenge in terms of resources for this, and we need to be working now, as I said earlier, to put systems in place to make people safer. Adaptation is going to be critical, but we are a very privileged country. We obviously have people that are in non-privileged situations within our country, and they're the people we're talking about, but we're a privileged country, and the idea that, you know, at a global scale, our emissions are not big does not exclude us or from being responsible for doing everything we can to contribute to a global discussion about reducing emissions and reducing the impact of climate change. So I think I would like to see a clearer message about where our responsibility is as a country and what we're going to do about that, but also a far greater effort to look at adaptation now, deal with a problem that exists now but is only going to get larger, and start investing in that and giving a real clear message about that. And I don't think we're seeing that at this point.